Let's take our Bibles and go to Romans chapter 11, please. There's an event that is very closely associated with our gathering together unto Him. And it is the event of the believers receiving rewards, appearing before the Bema of Christ. Something that has been a stumbling block to Christians, really throughout the history of Christianity, is the place in their lives of works. It seems that oftentimes people have works in the place of grace, and then sometimes grace in the place of works. For example, there are too many people that think that their salvation is earned. And then there's also too many people who have thought that after salvation that they didn't need to do anything for the Lord because it's all grace. Well, this becomes very much at the forefront in understanding the believer's rewards. There's a verse in Romans chapter 11 that is very, very complicated. It's very in-depth theologically. It probably requires a PhD to even approach it because of how difficult it is to read and understand this particular verse. But we're going to try anyway. Romans chapter 11 in verse 6, it says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Now, was that difficult? Is that complicated? This should solve so many of the questions that people have raised through the centuries, so many of the difficulties that unlearned teachers have brought to Christians' lives, because it's so simple. I think of that song that we sing, "The Bible clearly tells His word." How clear is that? Hey, grace is grace, works are works. But this becomes very, very significant when it comes to the believer's rewards. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll see again in this particular context the juxtaposition, putting side by side in opposition or contrast grace and works. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For by your good works are ye saved." Wait, I must be reading a different translation here. Oh, yes, here we go. It says, "For by grace are ye saved." Hey, what did we just learn from Romans? If it's grace, it's grace. It's not works. Our salvation is not based on our works at all. Not one iota. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through believing. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." What works did anyone perform to bring about their own salvation? None, because it's by grace. And if it's grace, it's grace. It's not by works, lest any man should, you know, start boasting about how much he's earned, and God must have made a special place in heaven for that individual because they worked so hard for the Lord. No. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we, verse 10, are his workmanship. See, we are God's workmanship. That's the new birth. That's our salvation, our deliverance. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. See, that workmanship is what God has worked in you. God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that came totally by grace. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this little section of Scripture teaches us that it's not of works that we're saved, that our salvation is God's work in us, because we are his workmanship, but now that we are saved, we've been created unto good works. And it's these good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's these good works after the new birth that are the determining factor for the believer's rewards. Look at Romans chapter 14, please. Romans chapter 14. It says in verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, when you read this, you could, you know, have a little hesitancy, a little reservation, a little trepidation because of the words judgment seat. Have you ever had to appear in court? You know, maybe you've, you know, done something bad with your foot on the accelerator and you've got to go to court about it, or maybe you, you know, did something else and you've got to stand before the judge, the judgment seat, and it's not a pleasant experience for the most part. Well, the word judgment seat here is one Greek word. It's the Greek word bema, spelled B-E-M-A. And it can have the sense of a judgment seat before a judge. But let's remember, we are part of the Church of God, and we've already been judged in Christ Jesus. And you know what God's judgment was of our lives? Is that we are righteous. There is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, and the word condemnation is judgment. There is therefore now no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why is there now no longer any judgment? Because we've already been judged righteous by the work of Jesus Christ. So in understanding that, there is an alternative use of the word bema. The word bema literally means a step. And perhaps the best representation from our current experience to understand it is the way that the awards stand is constructed at the Olympic Games. Are you all familiar with that? It's three levels, three steps, so to speak. The lowest step up for the bronze medal, and then the next step up for the silver medal, and then the highest step is for the gold medal. This would be a very accurate way of understanding the word judgment seat here in Romans 14:10. The bema is the awards stand. So again, it says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the awards seat of Christ. For it is written, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to who? God. Now, when will this be? This is at the time of the gathering together. We've read and learned of the details of the gathering together, that we all are changed, we all receive new bodies, that we all receive perfect minds, that we're all taken out of this lousy, evil world, and we are with the Lord forever from that point onward. Now, associated with this gathering together is every one of us giving account of himself to God. And the context is we're giving account of our works for which we will be rewarded. We will stand at the award stand of Christ. This is the good works that we would do based on the foundation of Jesus Christ. This word bema is used significantly in another place in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, and we're going to read this in its context. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. One of the significant and great sections of hope in the church epistles, starting in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, for which cause we faint not, we don't faint, but though our outward man perish or is perishing, yet the inward man, the Christ that's in you, is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, this is written by revelation by the Apostle Paul. And you know what he called his persecution, his sufferings, what he had to go through? He called it a light affliction. And it's but for a moment. Now, you know, we would look at the affliction that Paul went through and certainly say it was anything but light. But remember, he's speaking in context of the hope, in context of Christ's return. You know, no matter what you might go through, and none of us have come close to going through anything like the Apostle Paul went through, but still, in light of what's coming, it's a light affliction, and it's but for a moment. You know, our time here on earth is so fleeting, how the days go quickly passing by. But what a great thing. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, we look at the great spiritual realities. Certainly one of the things we look at is the hope that Christ is coming back. You know, that's eternal. You know, a lot of the stuff that comes to us by the senses, it's just temporal. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then this context of the hope, of working for a far more eternal weight of glory, continues into chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this is referring to our earthly bodies, this is the song we sometimes sing in fellowship, I am dissolved no longer. No, it's not. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is talking about our new bodies, which we've learned about. For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We earnestly desire for Christ to come back and to get those new bodies. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, not that we should die, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. This is our great desire, that Christ will come back in our lifetime, and that our mortality will be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, or the token, the down payment of the Spirit. Wherefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You know, while we're here on earth in these mortal bodies, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by believing, not by sight. This certainly goes back to verse 18, that we look not at the things which are seen. You know, that'd be walking by sight. But we look at the things that are not seen, that are eternal. That's walking by believing. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We are confident that he's coming back, and we certainly are willing for him to come back at any moment. Wherefore, verse 9, we, what? Labor. See, in light of the hope, in light of being born from above, having the earnest of the Spirit, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Boy, what a wonderful context. It sort of puts good works in their proper perspective. You know, of God having so graced us with the new birth, with the down payment of Holy Spirit, and God having given us this other fixed point in our life of the return of Christ. So in the meantime, we labor. We work for the Lord. We're about our Father's business, that we may be accepted of him. And then verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And this is another use of that word, bema. For we must all appear before the awards stand of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or what? Bad. Now, you know, I'm reading along here in 2 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 5, and I'm digging this so much because, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to heaven. You know, I'm looking forward to a new body. You know, I'm very confident and willing that Christ is coming back, you know, that mortality will be swallowed up of life. Oh, it's just so wonderful. The hope, he's coming back. You know, can't wait to get to the bema, stand before the award stand. And then I read the end of this verse. It says, you're going to receive the things done in his body in this life, according to which he has done, whether good, like that, or bad. You could read this just like you could read the word judgment stand and have some trepidation. You know, have some fear and say, some dread, thinking that I'm going to be punished for the stuff that I've done as a Christian that's bad. It could be read that way. People have used that this way. You know, fear motivation to keep your flesh in line. Well, what about this? You know, at the time of the bema, at the time of receiving your own reward, what about the things that you've done good in this life? And also, what about the things, what happens because of the things that you've done bad? Well, there's one chapter that deals with this very detailed, very extensively. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So remember this. We just read that when you appear before the bema of Christ, you're going to receive the things done in this body, you know, done in this life, according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. How about this? How about understanding this stuff that we've done good and then the stuff that we've done bad? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 3? This is a good example of scripture buildup. How you got to work the whole topic, and that one scripture will give you information, but it might not tell the whole story. You've got to work the Word of God so that it fits together. So you learn from one context and put it together with another context, and the scripture builds up so that you get a whole picture of the topic or of the event, whatever it is that you're working. Well, we're working on the believer's rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is very, very significant in light of this topic. Remember, it's addressed to a carnal church. It says in verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men, or walk according to man? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" You know, this is a very, very wonderful description of carnality. Not that the carnality is wonderful, but God's description is. You know, as soon as you start aligning yourself with a guy or with a group, it's a fundamental definition of carnality. You know, well, I'm associated with this group. I'm of that group. It's what's known as denominationalism. You know, that's what was happening at Corinth, and it's what they're being so severely reproved for. Who then is Paul? Verse 5, "And who's Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God did." What did Paul plant? He planted the Word. What did Apollos water? He watered the Word. And who gave the increase to the Word? God did. You know, this is what our works, our good works, revolve around, is the Word. You know, when we talk about rewards and we talk about doing the good works of Jesus Christ, we're not necessarily talking about running soup kitchens and going to Nicaragua to build houses for people. I mean, that might all be fine, well, and good, but does it line up with the definition of what God's Word says are good works? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" What was his Father's business? It was the business of the Word. See, what's the ministry that God has given us to carry out? It's the ministry of the Word. That's what Paul and Apollos were exemplifying. And really, what makes it so great is that God gives the increase to his Word. Now, verse 8, "He that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own," what? "Labor." A wonderful description of the believer's rewards. Every man, and this is in context, every Christian, you know, every Christian, every born-again one, everyone, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. This lines up very much with what we read in Romans 14. The believer's rewards are highly individualistic. You're not going to be rewarded for how great of a fellowship you attend or don't attend, or how great other believers around you have been serving. You know what? Each one of us are going to be rewarded individually. We're going to receive our own reward according to our own labor. And then it says in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry," or "ye are God's tilled field. Ye are God's building." So we are to work together with God. You know, our work is to be God-directed. It's not to be man-directed. We're to work together with God. God's the one who gives the increase to our work. God's the one who directs our steps. And then as a result of doing God's work, it's like the believers who receive that word are like a tilled field. And they get built according to that word, that ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. See, the believer's rewards are tied directly to building the body of Christ. Now, that includes winning the unsaved, but it also includes building those who have been saved through the varied means of edification that we have. You know, the word which edifies, the manifestations in operation which edify, in our prayer life which so benefit and build other believers. So let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We will be rewarded for our works that are founded on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that are built upon that foundation. Other works outside of that foundation, we will not be rewarded for. You know, this begins to answer the question that we got from 2 Corinthians 5 of when you appear before the Bema, you're going to receive those things that you've done, whether good or bad. Well, the good works are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Anything else would be in the category of bad works. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. And by the way, all of these things are building materials. You know, the materials are not the issue. The issue is how you build with them. You know, wood, hay, stubble is, you know, building materials. You know, hay and stubble are things that are make up bricks. You know, so these are building materials. Every man's work shall be made manifested, for the day shall declare it. What day? The day of the gathering together, the day of the Bema, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? Reward. Here, biblically, by scripture buildup, is an answer to what we asked from 2 Corinthians 5 of a definition of good works received at the time of the Bema. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, here's a definition of the bad works. If any man's work shall be burned, in other words, it doesn't pass the test of being founded upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, of building the body of Christ, he's going to suffer loss. What's he going to lose? Is he going to lose his eternal life? No. Look at the rest of the verse. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, because that which received in the new birth is totally by grace. It's incorruptible seed. It's eternal life. It cannot be lost. What's he going to lose? What he's going to lose is his rewards. Keep your finger here. Look at 2 John. Second John, we're not even going to the first chapter because there is no such thing. It's just one. Second John, it says in verse 8, look to yourselves that ye lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full, what? Reward. You know, evidently, according to 2 John 8, it's possible for a person to work for a period of time, to be building up rewards, and then later on in his life, to lose them. You know, this ties to an understanding of the customs, the lands, and times of the Bible, because what was the norm in that custom, in that culture, was that people would work during the day, and at the end of the day, they would be paid. Now, oftentimes their pay would be in grain or in produce or in other, you know, things that they could eat, other tangible things, or it could be in money, but it was common that the payment would be at the end of a day. This period of time in which we're living is called man's day in the Bible. Now, what 2 John verse 8 says is, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that you don't lose what you've worked for, but that you receive a full reward. When are we going to receive a full reward? At the time of the Bema, at the end of man's day. You know, it is possible that a person could work for, say, a portion of a day, and let's say he's picking apples. You know, he's picking apples for the morning, and then lo, he sits down and takes a siesta, and he says, oh, I'm going to try one of those apples, and then he has another one, and he starts eating them up. Well, that which he has wrought, he could lose, you know, by not staying put, working for the whole day. Certainly a very caution, a very stern warning in 2 John verse 8. But here it says, if verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He'll suffer loss of that which he could have been rewarded for. He maybe had worked previously and built up some rewards, but then gets off of the foundation of Jesus Christ and has the potential of losing those rewards wrought. For if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? In the King James, that word ye is plural. It's referring to the church. Know ye, the church, that ye, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defiles the temple of God. This is talking about the church. You know, this isn't talking about your human body, like this verse has so wrongly been used. You know, people say, well, when you smoke cigarettes, you're defiling the temple of God. Oh, my gosh. You know, they didn't have tobacco in the first century. It's got nothing to do with that. This is talking about the church. If any man defiles the church of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, verse 17 has been used very wrongly, taken out of its context. It could be, you know, just hashed to pieces. But remember, if any man defiles the temple of God is referring to the church. The word defile is the word corrupt. It's the opposite of building. If any man corrupts or tears down the temple of God, in other words, if somebody tears down the church, then the King James says, him shall God destroy. I got a problem with that. You know what the problem is? It's just two verses previous. It says, if he shall suffer loss, very evidently a loss of rewards, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If, how could you be saved in verse 15 and then in verse 17 be destroyed? Well, the problem is the translation of the word him. The word him should be translated this, or this thing. If any man corrupts the temple of God, this shall God destroy. What's the context? It's talking about this work shall God destroy? What's the work that God will destroy? Someone corrupting, someone tearing down the church of God. You know, what this is speaking of, the context, the greater context where we started is, you know, carnality amongst Christians. You know, that certainly tears people down. You know, people start walking according to man's thinking, start forming these little factions and dividing the one body. Giving out that they are better than other people and all the other stuff associated with envying, strife, and division. You know, that corrupts the temple of God. You know, people that interject false doctrines and man's thinking into Christianity. You know, people who start opposing the truth. If any man corrupts the temple of God, tears down the church, that work shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So we've got a biblical answer to the question that we posed from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What about receiving at the bema the things that you've done in this body, whether good or bad? Well, what happens for the good works is that you receive rewards. The good works are the things that you have done based on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Those things you've done as workers together with God. Those things you've done to build the body of Christ, to build the Word of God. Now, what are the bad works? Well, those bad works are the things that are outside the foundation of Jesus Christ. It certainly includes carnal actions within the church, things that corrupt the temple of God. What's going to happen to those works? Those works are going to be burnt. They're going to be gone. They're going to be destroyed. But what happens to the individual that committed those works? Well, he receives a loss of potential rewards, but he himself shall be what? Saved. Because the gift of Holy Spirit is totally by grace. So in our next session, we'll look more at the believer's rewards.